Preparing to delve in 3, 2, 1.
So wait, there was an arachnophobia mode the whole time? Why didn't I know? Oh, hi! How are you doing? Welcome back to the Citanium Mine, where I'm just realizing that sometimes when people put a thing up at the beginning of their game as a warning, you should pay more attention to it. There's an interesting thing. I wouldn't have taken the option anyway. Hey, what we're talking about right now is a game called Grounded. And this was a game I was very excited about when I originally heard about it, because although it seems a little bit outside of the realm of what Obsidian usually does, it is a game from Obsidian, and therefore I am inclined to like it. I'm just predisposed to it. It's Obsidian. I've rarely ever been disappointed by the studio, and knowing that they're doing so many projects now is very encouraging. I'm glad to see that Microsoft is actually trying to utilize them, and I'm very interested in that new project that they announced, that kind of like making Skyrim, but Obsidian's doing it. I thought that was very interesting. And of course, Outer Worlds was great. But Grounded did feel a little bit out of place for Obsidian. It's sort of like a survival game in the spirit of Rust or Fallout 76. Anyway, the point is, it was sort of that game, but imagine that as Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. And now that did feel like the style of Obsidian, that felt kind of quirky and different. So I was very interested to see what it was going to be. And luckily, it came directly to Game Pass as soon as it went to game preview, so I've been able to play it a bit. I mean, first of all, I have to say how wonderfully innovative to have a game that is set with, you know, these kids that are like an inch tall, and have that be the premise for the game. It's a really neat idea. You just don't really see that. I can't even think about a game world that has been similar to that experience. So I really appreciated the innovation in what they were bringing to the table. And when I say that they brought that to the table, I mean, they went all in on it. It is really pretty to look at. It's got this, it's not really a cartoonish style, but it definitely feels a little softer. The insects and everything, they are not photorealistic or anything like that. They're not even what you would normally see in like an Assassin's Creed or anything of that caliber, or a Skyrim. They are much more cartoony in their look. They have softer features. They look a little bit, even if they're scary, they look a little bit more inviting and not as threatening by nature, which we're going to get into a minute. Maybe they should have looked that way. The world is vibrant. There are these blades of grass, and they are just beautifully sheened. The droplets of water that dangle ever so tentatively at the ends of those blades of grass look so pretty. Like, the effects that they put into this look terrific. The world does feel like you just kind of went down into a colorful version of your backyard. I think the thing that I liked about Obsidian is that when they are on their A game, they can bring something that feels new and innovative to the table, but more than that, they bring a personality to their games that you don't normally see in other studio projects. If we go back and look at the previous titles in their catalog, for instance, New Vegas, and you could see that Fallout New Vegas has a certain personality that you don't see in the other Fallout games. Similarly, when they did Knights of the Old Republic 2 Sith Lords, there is a certain flavor to that that does something different than the original KOTOR. I love the original KOTOR, don't get me wrong, but something that I did appreciate in the sequel was it didn't feel quite as clean. It got into some of the dirtier underbelly of the Star Wars universe, and I thought that was very interesting. Nar Shaddaa, for instance, as like this criminal underworld hub, those are the sort of places that you go. It feels like it has a little bit more to it. Fallout 3 was a wasteland, true, but sometimes it felt very sterile as a wasteland. You get to New Vegas, and it really feels like a wild, wild west in the apocalypse, and so it's got a style, a flavor all of its own. When they get into their own projects, too, you look at Outer Worlds, good example of that. It's not just a spacefaring adventure. There's a lot of stuff going on under the surface, and everything is not good here, and you can get that, although it's not necessarily overt all the time. Like, the best way I can describe Obsidian Games is that they have a very light and bright overtone with a very dark undertone. Like, the surface level of the games are kind of bright and chipper and tongue-in-cheek, usually comedic, but the undertones of what they're doing is sort of dark and depressing. And so you get that immediately when you're going into Grounded, because, as I said, the world is very vibrant, you're playing as these kids, you have four kids to choose from, and they all have kind of like their quirky little personalities, but it's nothing too over-exertive. And then you get into this world where it's like, well, now you gotta fight for your survival. A good example of this is the thirst and hunger meters. You have those in this game. You have to eat and you have to drink in order to, you know, survive. It's all recorded through this little gizmo that's on your HUD. And if your food or your water gets very low, it makes this cute little robot sound that's like, mew, mew, to let you know that, uh-oh, you might die of starvation soon. Oopsie doodles. It's that kind of style. And I appreciate it. Like, in terms of the presentation, Grounded does a really good job out of the gate. But there are some serious issues involved, and I am going to give it a little bit of benefit of the doubt because, again, it is in-game preview. It is not its final release, so I can't really judge it on what it may become one day. But they are asking me to play it now. So, very much like an Ooblets, I gotta tell you what it is on face value right now. That HUD, the actual interface that they put in front of you to do things, needs a lot of refinement. For instance, there is a quick bar where you have like 10 items, and this is very typical of a lot of games where you have to pick up multiple items and use multiple pieces of equipment in order to do things. There's usually a quick bar where you can cycle through 10 basic items, 8 to 10, depending on what game you're looking at. Even though your backpack can carry a lot more, you have a handful of items that you can switch between easily. But in Grounded, you really can't switch between them easily. And this is a big issue for me. Normally, I would say, hey, you know, it should be very simple. You know, maybe I push the little D-pad buttons or something to cycle through it. Nope. No, because even in a single-player mode, when you do that, you get to the emote wheels. But I don't need to emote to anybody because I'm playing single-player, so it's pointless. Why do I even have those there? Because it was built as a multiplayer game. Basically, that's the way I can explain it. Instead, what you do to access other things in your quick bar is you have to hit a button to open a scroll wheel for your quick inventory, and then cycle to the thing that you want in your quick inventory, and then confirm it by hitting a button again, which doesn't seem quick at all. And it's not. It's not very convenient, because the game doesn't pause while you're doing this. So I'm in the middle of combat. Ooh, I want to get to the axe that I have, or my spear, but I can't do that until I open up the wheel, pause, do the thing, and then hit the thing while they're attacking me. It just doesn't work as well as you want it to. The interface could have been built a lot better and a lot more streamlined for this. There is a base building mechanic in this game, which of course there is, because it is a modern game and it's trying to be a survival title, so you have to build stuff and build walls and equipment and everything like that. Again, I feel like the interface really needs some work in order for this to function the way they probably intended it to function. So you go into a menu and it is broken down between several different categories, and you can see if you have the necessary materials that you've harvested to make individual things in that category. You cannot make multiples of a thing at a time. Like, if I have enough supplies to make 30 woven fibers, which is one of the staple crafting materials in the early game, I cannot just say I want to make 30 of them. I have to make each one of them individually. Again, it just feels like this could have been streamlined a lot better if they're going to rely so heavily on certain resources being used. You can build walls and you can build, you know, shelters and stuff for yourself as well. The walls are primarily built, at least in the early game that I've been playing in, with grass planks. And that's done by chopping down grass with your little pebble axe, the first axe that you really get in the game. So you build your axe, and then you chop down the blades of grass, and now you have some building material so that you can put together some walls to keep out nasty insects and such that might be trying to get to you. The interesting thing about the grass planks, and I'm still not sure if I like this mechanic or if it's just an interesting quirk that they put into it, is that they don't go into your inventory. You can stack 5 of them high, and you have to hold them on your shoulder. While you're holding those planks, you can't use other equipment. So you have to put them down somewhere, and then you can equip stuff, and you can use it, and then you have to recollect those planks. And I think that eventually you get tools. It looks like you actually get the ability to put together pallets, essentially, and then you can just stack them on the pallets. But I do find that that whole thing is a little bit cumbersome, especially because, you know, I said that you can stack 5 of them high. Well, a typical wall takes 4 of those. So if I have 5 in my hand and I've placed down where I want my wall and I use 4 of them, now I just have the 1 and I gotta go collect another, like, 4 so that I can go and build another wall completely. You can put together partial walls if you need to and then go back and get some others, but I just felt like it out of the gate, that mechanic could have been a little less cumbersome. The whole situation with the grass planks kind of remind me of like the hot dogs and the hot dog buns, you know, why not make the same amount for each so that I don't have to do the math. There are other things too, like for instance, you get science points by taking different items to this little science lab computer thing that apparently also shrunk with you and analyze them. But you can do that 3 times, and then there's a little timer that counts down before those uses go back up. And I just didn't really know if that was necessary. It felt like it was trying to put a timer on things to slow people down from doing basic research, and I didn't see the point in that. But I also didn't really understand what the science points did for me, and I can't quite figure out how they helped me progress. I hadn't seen that much in terms of the actual progression in the game. I'm still playing and trying to figure out what the ins and outs of it are, but I'm only doing it periodically because, again, as you can probably tell from this series especially, I do have a tendency to play a lot of games until I get bored with them and I try something else. But it is the sort of title that, even though I'm not into, like, survival games as a genre in general, I am very interested in this. I think that it looks really cool, it feels really good when you're playing it, like, the world feels very lived in. Because there are gnats and weevils and ants and dead spiders that are living in this world as well. And that there is a larger overarching story about, well, how can I not be like an inch tall? Maybe that's a thing I could do. And so there is definitely motivation and something of a storyline. But I feel like it needs a much better interface. It needs to improve the actual end user experience and streamline it to make it enjoyable for the long term. And maybe it's because it was made for a multiplayer experience and having other people involved makes the game more interesting. But I'd be playing it as a single player experience. They do offer it. And so I'm taking them up on that offer. The thing that kind of got me annoyed was when night falls and you can barely see anything and you're still trying to do stuff. I was building a bunch of walls, and while I was building a bunch of walls, there was a wolf spider, and of course, because you're, you know, so very small, I say an inch, but it's much smaller than an inch. The spider's huge. The wolf spider is huge. And, like, it hits me, boop, boop, and I'm dead. Like, that's how quick it was. And then you get returned to, like, your start, and you have to go and collect your stuff, which is back in the place I was working, where the spider was. And I went back, and the spider was gone. But I collected my stuff, and I kept working on my grass blade walls. When I was looking back over my clips, there actually is an arachnophobia mode. If you don't like the idea of giant spiders, there's a cosmetic thing that they can do, I guess, so that they're not giant spiders. But I think that if you're an arachnophobe, the idea of the spiders in general is probably an issue, so I don't really know. I don't really know what arachnophobia mode does to make that better. Like, if Assassin's Creed Odyssey had put in, like, a sharkophobia mode or whatever in the game, and they say, we're going to make the shark smaller, it still wouldn't help me. A small shark is still a shark. Fun fact, a fear of sharks is referred to as galeophobia or selachophobia. So there, I'm educational now. I respect Obsidian for what they do, and I really like this take on the genre. I just feel like it needs much more time to become what they, of all people, really want it to be. And I am all for it if they end up getting to that place where it feels much more like a fleshed-out experience with a much more streamlined interface. I think that it is a solid win for them, but it's not there yet. So this is usually the point in the show where I would talk about alternatives if Grounded is not quite for you, or maybe you're looking for a slightly different experience in a similar genre. As I just said, there's not a lot in the survival genre that I like. I've tried many of them. Conan Exiles, tried it, played it for a good long time, but I can't recommend it, honestly. Fallout 76, again, people probably already know this, I cannot recommend Fallout 76. I've tried. Believe me. Ark, didn't like it. A lot of these titles just do not appeal to me. However, if you are interested in this sort of bright, lush world that has survival aspects to it and massive amounts of exploration, I think you should really look at Subnautica from Unknown Worlds Entertainment. And it is terrific. And I'm not an underwater combat person either. The very idea of a body of water where there might be sharks in a game just makes me not want to go in the water at all. But there was something about Subnautica that made me play for far longer than I ever thought possible. Really getting to explore the depths of this alien planet and all the life that it is in this water world that is definitely far more fun to engage with than the movie Water World. I have not actually gone back to play it since they did the full release of the game where they added a bunch of new stuff. And I really should. I really should, because there is a certain unease to it and a certain real sense of almost horror survival because of this unknown water planet that you're exploring down into the depths and these really odd alien aquatic creatures that you are encountering. Some that are friendly, some that are innocuous, and then some that are incredibly deadly. But the fact that they built this whole world, and it's not like a procedurally generated one or anything, like they built this really lush, beautiful world out of it and allow you to do base building. Base building is very much in this as well. You build your own subs, you build your own bases. There's so many things that are trappings of a normal survival game, but with this gorgeous setting, this beautifully realized environment, and with this real sense that this world is both beautiful and dangerous. They do such a good job with it. So if Grounded might sound good to you, but you don't have access to it, it's not on the platform that you can get it, you can definitely check out Subnautica. It does come with my recommendation as a person who does not like survival games and does not like aquatic games. That's a pretty hard sell for me. Alright, so I'm gonna go back and watch that disclaimer at the beginning of the game where they tell me that they indeed have an arachnophobia mode and figure out why I just skipped over that completely, especially now that I have been mauled by a spider that is basically the equivalent size of an elephant. I think it's probably a good idea to go back and look at that. I mean, let's face it, I wasn't really scared of the spider because it was so dark I could barely even see the spider anyway, but also anything that hits you twice and kills you should be equally as terrifying, regardless of what it is. Let me just make sure, are you able to get into the cart? It's a little rusty. It's been running more often than I expected it to. Thank you for joining me. Next time you're down, could you bring, like, cookies or something? I'm kind of hungry now. There's very little food down here. It's like a survival game, but in a cave. Ooh, there's an idea.